Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This is absolutely incrinculent limits. God bless me.
Bless you.
It's the Pomp and Joe Show minus Pomp, and that's going to be something I'm going to have to deal with. Not the minus Pomp part. He's in and out. We all know that's the arrangement. It's the feeling that when I announced that at the beginning of the show that there are thousands of people who are crushed by Pomp not being here, and therefore crushed by only me and you.
There's a collective,
exactly,
that people feel.
A collective sigh in the studio audience.
Yeah.
Even though we don't have an audience. How are you? I was gone yesterday.
I'm great, Joe. It's great to be back with you. Thanksgiving Eve. With Thanksgiving tomorrow, got some great plans for tomorrow. I'm
should
pumped.
Green
I'm
beans appear anywhere on the Thanksgiving menu?
Yes.
Green beans. No, they shouldn't.
What do you mean
they're
they shouldn't?
They're green beans. Nobody eats green beans and enjoys it.
Love green bean casserole.
And people just
want to
brag that they put vegetables in the casserole. If they weren't in the casserole, the green bean casserole would be just as good, wouldn't it?
It's the only casserole that I like.
It sucks.
It's great. And it's good on Christmas and Thanksgiving.
And I heard them analyzing and debating stuffing on Buffalo Sports Talk, believe it or not. And the one guy was going to make stuffing for the first time in his life. He's the stuffing guy this year. And he's putting raisins in it. Isn't that an automatic turnoff? Don't you eliminate a large part of the stuffing-eating population by putting raisins in there?
Well, we've had a raisin talk before about how infrequent it is for people to eat raisins after you're 7 years old. So, yeah, I don't think it would be the best case scenario.
Stuffing is just bread. Is it not limits? It's basically just balled up bread, right?
I thought it was seasoning? Parts of the turkey, like the inside of the turkey.
What?
Right?
No, the
stuffing of the turkey, right? One of us is going to look really bad. Here come the textures.
Wait a second. So you mean like the guts of the turkey are involved in the stuffing? Is that what you're saying?
I thought that was kind of the case.
Hence the name stuffing, I guess, but I never knew that if it's true. I thought basically it's overcooked bread that you then somehow soften and put seasoning on and sometimes apples. Am I wrong?
Stuffing is a seasoned mixture as of breadcrumbs, vegetables, and butter that is typically placed inside the cavity of a turkey and cooked.
What do you mean breadcrumbs? If it was just the crumbs, you would have no substance to the stuffing, right?
I don't know. Blame Merriam-Webster's dictionary.
It's actual bread. Anyway,
so I think we're both right.
Yeah. I'm still recovering from a drive back from Buffalo. My daughter driving, and this was her first time with a long drive on the highway.
Oh, you were definitely shaking.
And she wanted me to change, right? She's not allowed with a permit to drive in another state. So right when we got to the New York, or the Pennsylvania state line from New York, I was visiting Bink and Evie, my parents. We switched and off we went. And it was smooth sailing until we started to return to civilization, which is about Cranberry. And then all hell was breaking loose limits at about 9 o'clock at night. And one of the big problems, and I want to know how you handle this problem. I already knew it was a problem, quite frankly, but never quite so underscored as it was last night, was people merging from the right when you're on the highway. People merging from the right can be very problematic. And right out here, not far from Greentree, just when I thought we were safe and almost home, two cars merging from the right. And I said, oh, shoot.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You got two merging here. You got two merging. Let the first guy go. Let the second guy go behind. Let the first guy go. Let the second guy. I'm not the most calm.
Backseat driver Joe. Here we go. I know how this is going.
So the guy on the right, he has a yield sign, right? Nobody ever pays attention to the yield sign limits. They don't yield. Yield means yield.
Yield. Wait.
Yeah. Let other go.
It's like the yellow light that's flashing.
So I mistakenly told her, let that guy go. And he mistimed it. He was like, are you going to go? We're doing you a favor here. Can you take yes for an answer? Get in line. Go. Get in front of us. He didn't go. He was being pressured from the guy from behind him. It's like a pass rush at that point. He's being pressured. So she slows down trying to let him go. He won't go. Then he starts to go. That type of thing. You've been there, right? The indecisiveness. And ultimately, we barely escaped there. He stopped, and I just said, floor it!
Stopped? And so, on like a major road?
Well, no, he was still in the yield area. You know, sometimes you have to stop in the on-ramp, right?
Yes.
And he had to eventually. But that's just danger lurks in that situation. I guess ultimately, I think you have to drive aggressively. I told her, I think it was my mistake to say to you, let him in and then get ahead of the second guy. There were too many instructions from me and screw that guy. Now, the problem is if he's going 80 miles an hour and doesn't yield, then what do you do? But it's almost like you'd rather have the high speed decision than one of you be stopped. You know what I mean? There's a lot there.
You got to hit the hole, Le'Veon. Remember that from Le'Veon's song?
Yeah, is that your general strategy there?
So if you see an opening, you have to go.
Well, you should have the opening. You're the commander. You're the guy that they yield to.
Right.
And I think, generally speaking, increasing your speed is the answer there.
I agree. Not slowing down.
Do you agree?
Yeah, because if somebody is trying to merge in and they think, oh, well, this guy's going really slow.
Right, don't give him any ideas.
I might be able to have a chance here.
That was my bad. It was a bad call.
Or just get in the other lane if you think it might be problematic.
It was the Artie Smith fade to Cordero Patterson on the two-point conversion. Bad call.
I'm getting killed on the text line for my take
on
stuffing.
What are they saying?
I don't eat stuffing, but somebody said, OMG limit, stick to sports talk. There is no guts in stuffing. It's just bread with fried onions and celery and butter with spices.
Yeah, that would have been crushing to me because it would have been a long life spent believing that there were no guts of the turkey and stuffing.
Yeah, somebody else said stuffing is not turkey's insides. Well, I don't eat stuffing. I just kind of look at it on the menu, maybe grab like a little bit to try.
See,
five Thanksgivings.
I think it's the best part. In fact, I have stuffing sandwiches the next day. Bread with stuffing in between it, which is bread, and bread, basically.
It's a lot of bread.
Yeah, a lot of bread. Stuffing's the best part, limits, and I've had people put little bits of sweet potato in there, which is marvelous.
The best food on Thanksgiving is mashed potatoes, and I don't think there's much of an argument that can be had there.
Well, there is, and it's stuffing.
And think it's stuffing.
Yeah, I also like sweet potato, anything sweet potato, casserole, anything like that. Of course, I don't know that I'm going to partake in any of this because we're going to Bravo for Thanksgiving dinner. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
Thanksgiving dinner, I'm a little surprised at your choice.
It's because my kid won't eat turkey. She still only eats like spaghetti and chicken fingers. It's like she's four. So we're going out to get spaghetti, but I think there is also a turkey dinner. I don't know yet.
I would imagine that there would be, that anywhere is going to serve a turkey dinner tomorrow.
It's very depressing, really, in some ways. Not that, but the fact that family, we're sort of isolated here. All our relatives live in other places. So lots of families, there's huge get-togethers on Thanksgiving, and usually it's just us three fighting in the confines of our home. So at least we're going to get out this year. How about you?
Well, I would invite you over if I would, but I'll be bouncing between relative and relatives. I'm going to my grandmother's, And then I'm going to my aunt's. So we're going to cover my mom's side of the family, then my dad's side of the family. We've been doing that for 15 years.
See, I would, but I also have a fear that your family might be mad at me for nicknaming you Bread last week.
Well, I don't think they might have caught that.
No?
No.
Okay.
It's hard to get sidetracked when there's 12 different nicknames that are being tossed out there. Even my grandmother said, I was listening to the radio the other day, and I heard you being called something that wasn't Limits. What's going on here?
What was it? I guess it could have been anything.
It could have been anything.
City Dweller.
Yeah. Twin Cities.
Bread last week.
Mr. P.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's start with the Steelers. I've got a lot of thoughts here, Limits. I was in three states over the past 5 days. Three different states, and of course, I'm always tuned in to the NFL. One of those places, one of the cities anyway. I should say cities, although states, maybe different states. Miami was one of them. And I was wearing a Bills shirt, which attracted a lot of attention in Miami because that's their greatest rival.
Congratulations on all your success.
So whether it's anecdotal with just regular people walking around or whether it's watching national shows or whatever it might be, there's literally nobody, and I mean nobody, that I have encountered who thinks that the Steelers are a greater threat to get to the Super Bowl than the Ravens, despite their success against the Ravens. And this was the theme of one of our talks last week, wasn't it? Was that it's awesome to own the Ravens these days. It is. It's fun. They're your bitter rival, and you beat them literally every time. But what has it added up to? This is not college football. You don't live off just the rivalry. You have to beat other people, and you have to hope they don't beat other people. And they beat almost everybody else, except when they get to the playoffs. But my point is, it was just very interesting for me to see how unseriously the football world is still taking the Steelers. And I'm wondering, as a Steeler fan, what you think of that. Do you agree with them? Like, are the Ravens just automatically a greater threat to get to the Super Bowl in your mind than the Steelers, especially if they avoid the Steelers in the playoffs? I think a lot of it is Lamar. And I think what they did the other night only underscored this notion that, yes, the Ravens have a Steelers problem. They have a Steeler problem. But, man, they're a bigger threat than them. That's what everybody seems to think, and I tend to agree.
Well, it's probably because they have a two-time MVP potentially going for a third at quarterback, plus Derrick Henry. I mean,
yeah, plus a defense that, as I said and as Tomlin said, is way better than their stats going into that Steeler game. There's no question. We had Rob Long from Baltimore 3 weeks ago going into the Steeler game who said this has been a problem of scheme, not talent on the Ravens defense. They have a new coordinator. So I think it was a very smart move by John Harbaugh, who, by the way, has a history of making smart coordinator style moves in season. You may remember they fired their coordinator the year they won the Super Bowl, their offensive coordinator, late in the year, Cam Cameron, and they brought in Caldwell. Well, in this case, they brought in an advisor on defense who's done it before, and that's Dean Pease, and they've been really good. I thought they were really good the other night. They gave up a junk touchdown. Well, borderline junk touchdown late. I thought they were good. I think they're really good. I think they're better than the Steelers. I do. That doesn't mean that I wouldn't pick the Steelers to beat them because I'd be nuts not to, but you get what I'm getting at. That's just one thought I'm having this morning, perhaps apropos of nothing, but I just wanted to share that experience from the past couple days and get other people's thoughts because, again, listening to Buffalo Sports Talk and all they talk about is the Bills. They're like, yeah, Sunday afternoon or Sunday night's game, we're going to have an 11-hour pregame show starting at 6 in the morning. We'll go right up till 8:30 till kickoff, to, you know, that type of thing. It's all they talk about.
Well, there's not much to talk about with the Sabres right now. But
Sabres are good this year, Limits. You're wrong.
Well, when you're comparing it to the Bills with Josh Allen,
or the Penguins,
the front runner for the MVP in the NFL,
or the Penguins, but even they, the Steelers don't get mentioned. It's wild, man.
Well,
they were talking about us last listening to national shows. They're like top Super Bowl contenders in AFC. Ravens always there. It's Chiefs, it's Ravens, and Bills. Those are the top three everywhere. And then it's like, you know, can the Steelers win a game? I think I heard, who was I listening to? Somebody on ESPN Radio. Can the Steelers win a game? Sure. But that's the name of their category, one and done. along with the Chargers, the Broncos, the Texans. That's where the Steelers are getting mentioned. And do you know why they're getting mentioned there, oh, Limitless Wonder?
I have my theories.
Because they lost to the Browns. That's why. If they go in at a national TV game in the snow and they merely beat the Browns, but especially if they hammer the Browns, then I think they're in that conversation with the others. Thoughts?
But don't you think that those three teams, Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, are also getting a lot of credit and they're due to potentially go to the Super Bowl because of the model of consistency that they've had for going to AFC Championship games, for winning playoff games? I know it's been few and far between for Lamar, but him being a two-time MVP in the sustained success compared to the Steelers, who haven't won a division since 2020.
No.
Going back then, 2017 is the last time that they had a traditional home playoff game. I mean, I don't count 2020 in that game against the Browns with nobody in the stands.
No, I hear you.
I mean, the last time that they had a home playoff game and won the division was 2017, if you exclude 2020, the weird year they were 11-0.
I don't think it's based on recency. I think it's based on what you said first as quarterbacks. They have Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Lamar. The Steelers have Russ, and they don't even trust Russ with a game on the line on a 3rd and 6. That was the worst decision of the year. The hell is he doing? He told Jay Glazer he wants to win championships. That's why he made the move. Let me get the quote here, Limits. Let me get the official quote. I mean, can you imagine if Ben were the quarterback here, taking him out and having Justin Fields throw a 3rd and 6th? What are we talking about? What? Mike Tomlin told Jay Glazer when he made the change at quarterback, I'm not trying to win games. I'm trying to win a world title here. Meaning that's why I put Russell Wilson in this lineup. So with this giant game on the line, one that keeps you in the conversation for number one overall seed, you have a 3rd and 6 late and a red hot, I might add, Russell Wilson, who hardly missed the whole night. This to me was a Tampa manager, Kevin Cash, what's his name? This was him taking Blake Snell out of a game in the World Series.
Oh, I remember that.
Where all he's doing is throwing strikes.
And they lost.
Let's bring in the closer. Let's bring in Justin Fields to heave a ball down the field. And yes, I'm still talking about the Browns game a week later, because that was ridiculous.
Would you like Coach T's explanation?
Yes, I would.
We felt good about it, to be quite honest with you. It was a weighty moment. It was 3rd and medium. They had 11 guys within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. We had GP matched up on a corner not named Denzel Ward. That feels like more than a 50-50 ball to me, and so we were comfortable with that decision.
Even though Justin hadn't thrown a pass in a game in a month?
Even though. Certainly.
That's just him being stubborn. I mean, everything he said there is wrong or flawed. Okay, beautiful. You got 11 guys coming at Russ. He's good at beating the blitz from what I've seen. And if you're going to throw up a ball that is a 50-50 ball, or if you think it's better than that, then have the guy who throws better intermediate and deep balls. What are we talking about here?
Put the moon ball guy out there that's actually been able to do what you were intending to do than the other guy.
He just drilled a brilliant touchdown pass to Calvin Austin. A brilliant throw down the seam. Any situation that's important and you have a choice between Russell Wilson and Justin Fields throwing the ball beyond 10 yards down the field, every single person in the football world, if the question on a ballot was, who are you taking here to throw your pass if your ass is on the line, 100% would say Russell Wilson. 100% of them. So, yeah, a weighty moment. With GP one-on-one, that's exactly why you put Russell Wilson into the lineup with a 4-2 record. That's why.
Tomlin is trying to have his hand in two different cookie jars. And I really wonder if he fully trusts Russell Wilson, Joe.
Clearly not.
Because if he did, he would stay out there on the field. Like, they had Fields throw twice, both times. It didn't work, and the balls were not very accurate. And I went from huge Justin Fields defender to wanting him out there now in the red zone more than anything to try to punch
well,
it into the end zone.
It's unfair to him, too. Like,
right.
Like, I think that was Will Graves just said, the guy throws a pass once a month. What are you doing, honestly? The game's on the line in a snowstorm. It's 3rd and 6, and you're going down the field? Is it the element of surprise? Which is nice, except the other guy's a better passer.
Like, were they fully expecting Denzel Ward to not cover in that situation and try to cheat up to the line thinking Fields was automatically going to run? I mean, that's the only thing that I can think of. Even on third and four, why not have Justin Fields try to run?
Off the top, it was third and six.
It was four.
The pass he threw the ball down the field to Pickens?
To Pickens.
Okay. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding, we have a lot happening on today's show. Limits, would you like to tell people what is happening on today's show?
I would love to. We have Jay Caulfield joining at 11 o'clock. How about Brian Billick is going to join us at 11:40 and the big boy, Mark Cabali, at 12:35.
Who's the bigger name here, Cabali or Billick?
Currently, I think Cabali.
You're right. It was third and four at the pit 30. Yeah. My fault. You were right, Limits. I was wrong. I'm looking forward to him and Brian Billick and Jay Caulfield. I think it's a tie. A lot of championships there.
My favorite Jay Caulfield story has to be him skating around with Mario for the comeback.
Yeah. I used to call him when he was training Mario for that comeback. I just wish he had called me to break the story.
You're the beat writer.
I was the beat writer back then. You're exactly right. 412-928-9370. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Our six-pack, as always, brought to you by Bet365. And you can get in touch with the Limitless Wonder. The fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Artie Smith, believe it or not, it wasn't stuffing or driving or even really the Ravens and Steelers standing in the NFL that I came here to talk about today. And I know there's an extraordinary amount of you on the road today, and I thank you for listening, if you are listening. I came to talk about Artie Smith. We've spoken of the defense and its challenge over these next six games. Five of those games will be against top 10 offenses, scoring offenses in the NFL. Five of those games, two against Cincy, and then you have Philly, you have Kansas City, and Baltimore, which you've done well against. You seem to sort of have unlocked the secret against the Ravens, but that's still a formidable challenge for the defense. We've talked about that. I've come to the conclusion that this is a good defense. It's not a great defense. Haven't shown a closing ability enough. Have been run on at times at home. Definitely has a penchant for turnovers, which is good. I don't think the pass rush is as good as it's been in recent years. It's a good defense. Not a great defense. Still willing to change my mind on that. But the moral of this story is you're going to have to score some points here, I think, in most of those games to win. You may bog down Baltimore again, maybe Cincinnati one of those games. Who knows what that last game of the year will look like. But I'm betting that you're going to have to get 24 plus, maybe upwards of 30, maybe even more than 30 to win, say, three of those games. And that brings us to our friend Smitty, or Artie, whichever you prefer. Isn't there a little rumor going on about Artie right now? Limit seems to be on a very important phone call. Regarding the North Carolina job, is that a rumor at the moment?
Yeah, he's been added to the hot board, it's called, for On3, which is a really good recruiting site and also just covering all of college sports. And that Arthur Smith could potentially be a candidate for the job because Mack Brown was fired.
I think he'd be an interesting candidate, I'll be honest. I like Artie. He's a very nice man. Not that I've ever met him, but seems like a very nice man, week to week, and a smart man in his media sessions. And I also think he's a pretty good coach. I think he would be a good college coach. My concern right now is he a championship NFL coordinator? He's competent for sure. He's an upgrade on Matt Canada, but so are you, whoever you are out there listening. So am I. And lately, it's begun to fade a little. I mean, they just stepped into the AFC North and they delivered two duds, right? Against the Ravens and Browns. Some very curious calls. I mean, I would give Artie right now probably a C+, B- so far this season. They're scoring more than they did with Canada. They've actually had some 400-yard games. They've beaten up bad competition. But guess what? The Giants, Jets, and Raiders are gone. They're gone. Now you got teams in playoff position or explosive offenses, as in the case of Cincinnati. Of course, Cleveland's an exception too, but they just beat you. So against good teams, against the good teams on their schedule, playoff teams right now, Atlanta, Denver, Chargers, Commanders, and Ravens, the Steelers have averaged just 19, barely above 19 points a game. In two of those games, they didn't score a touchdown. The last two games, there have been major questions, I think, with Arthur Smith. 412-928-9370. Bottom line is this to the opening conversation today, although if you want to do Steelers' place in the AFC compared to the Ravens and others, please, by all means, give me a call. But the opening, the headline theme here. Do you agree that the Arthur Smith honeymoon period is over? And that doesn't mean to me that he's doing a bad job. It simply means, well, just what I said, the honeymoon's over. The grace period has expired. And now suddenly, old Smitty is facing, I think, increased and I think justified scrutiny after he opened AFC North play with two disappointing performances. Suddenly we're getting Canada-like questions. I don't want any confusion here. This guy's an upgrade on Matt Canada. He is. And he's had some really good moments this year. It's a more explosive offense by far. It looks like an adult offense. It looks like somebody who's seasoned in the game designs it for the most part. Except there's been stretches of mediocrity and head-scratching decisions as well, and especially these past two games, and I don't think that necessarily bodes well for the rest of the season. And even when you measure him against Canada, there are some very disturbing numbers. Very disturbing. Matt Canada's last full season here was 2022. The Steelers finished 22nd in the red zone. That's touchdown percentage in the red zone that year. Canada's last full year at 52%. This outfit is 8 spots lower. This is worse. The Patriots are ahead of the Steelers in red zone offense. Only the Giants and Cowboys are worse in red zone offense. This is worse than under Matt Canada in his final full year. Third down conversion rate. In Canada's last year, the Steelers were 7th in the NFL in converting third downs at 45%. This year, they're 15th. Again, they've dropped 8 spots from Canada's final year at 39%. And then there's baffling individual play calls. The Cordero Patterson fade. What are we doing, Artie? Come on. Until Cordero Patterson proves that he's healthy and or proves that he's still explosive, please lay off that track. Please. They also gave him an end around, a reverse in the red zone. He's had a couple of good moments this year. I don't know if he's hurt or just done, but either way, move on, please. Then there's all these third and fourth and short situations over the past 2 weeks, and they look god-awful. What are they doing? On the one play where they go for it on a 4th and 1 in the first half the other night, the play clock's running down. They look like the Ravens on the Ravens 2-point conversion at the end of the game. Disorganized, harried, hurried. Any other word like that you can think of? And it just screamed, call timeout, Mike. Tomlin was spending timeouts like a drunken sailor in the second half. Timeout here, timeout there. Well, it's the end of the game. You have no timeouts left because you spent them all. But in the first half, he can't use one in that situation, that critical situation. And then the call just looked discombobulated. Like, was that what it was meant to be with Justin? It looked like the play was going right. Was it meant to fool everybody? He goes left. Didn't fool any of the Browns. Like, none of them. 11 guys tackled him. Just horrible. They were stopped the week before in a key situation against the Ravens. And again, the other night, the running game, the conventional run game, not getting it done, and neither was Fields. What I don't understand in any one-yard situation, and I would argue even a two-yard situation, why not run a full-scale tush-push with Justin Fields? The dude's 230 pounds. You have a really good center in front of him. Just tell Najee, you know, remind him that his fifth year didn't get picked up before the play, and watch him smash into Justin Fields' back. Can you imagine if he caused a fumble? Limits?
Yikes.
If Najee did the tush-push the way he runs the ball, and he forced a Justin Fields fumble.
What do you think the odds are on that? 1 in 1 million chance that it possibly happens?
I think they're crazy with the personnel on hand not to be even better than the Eagles and more prolific than the Eagles at using the tush-push.
I don't know about
better. What are
they
doing?
I mean, nobody in the world does it better than Philadelphia does, and others have tried to replicate it. Often replicated.
Well, not the Steelers. Every time they try it, it's like a half-hearted tush-push where Warren shows up late, you know?
What's the phrase?
He shows up like Pomp for the show on Tuesday. Oh, I'm just a little late.
What's the phrase with a terrible towel? Often duplicated, never replicated, or is it the other way around?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an easy and obvious concept. You have a big, strong, mobile quarterback behind. Is Zach Fraser a top five center in the league?
I think so.
You have two pretty good road graders, and I don't know about pass blocking with the guard position, but you have two pretty good road graders in McCormick and Sayamalu, and then you have a maniac running up Fields' back in Najee, who's also a really strong player. Tell me you can't get a yard? Really? Every single time? But you're going to do a conventional handoff from 6 yards deep to Jaylen Warren? Stop doing that. Bottom line, Artie Smith, grade him so far this season. Tell me if the honeymoon period is over. Tell me your...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Confidence level as the Steelers go into a bunch of games that could be shootouts. Not saying they all will be, but bunches of them could be. Limits, you were not entirely forthcoming on the Artie Smith for North Carolina job rumor.
What did I miss?
Andy Staples, I consider to be a fairly reliable guy. I think he's very good. He has Artie on his hot board for the North Carolina opening. You also failed to mention that Smitty is a UNC grad. Doesn't that add a little spice here?
Yeah, a little added spice to the fire.
Do you put spice in a fire?
It would make the fire more rampant.
It would make it almost like incense in a way, wouldn't it? A little spice in the fire.
It would definitely be a wildfire. It would be tough to put out.
I think those are significant facts. The Athletic, according to Benzie, had Smith's name connected to Central Michigan's coaching search earlier this week. Isn't that's interesting to me. Do you think he'll be an NFL coach again anytime soon? I don't.
I think coordinator's probably
Would you rather be a coordinator in the NFL or a head coach in college? I think I'd rather have my own program. And by the way, I bet I'd make more money. I'm sure I would at an ACC school, especially a one that's not short on money like North Carolina.
Right. But at the same time, do you want to be Artie Smith and going around the country working probably every single day of the year, not getting any time off, recruiting and everything that comes with it, with NIL and just the way that college sports has changed? I mean, we've seen how many college basketball coaches have retired? Jay Wright, Tony Bennett, that just don't want to put up with this anymore in college sports. It's more so a basketball thing than a football thing. But even Nick Saban was tired of it. Now, I'm not saying that that would happen with Artie Smith, but some of the benefits of college head coaches I don't think is the same as it was 5 years ago.
No doubt. I think you're right about that. But it's still your own program. It's still more money. And it's not like being an offensive coordinator of the Steelers is an unscrutinized job that isn't very time-consuming.
No, but it's also the offensive coordinator of the Steelers.
So what would you rather do? I'd rather have my own program.
I think I'd rather be the Steelers offensive coordinator because especially you go back to your alma mater and let's say that things don't go well. Because, I mean, they were tumultuous for Mac Brown at times too. And if things fail for Artie and they get a short leash on him, he's going to be seen kind of in a similar light that Harbaugh was until he figured it out in the last 3 years. As the chosen one comes home and can't figure it out, why did we bring him back in the first place?
It's a wonderful question, Limits.
Crowley posed it on Twitter.
What question?
To the populace.
What did he pose?
Better job, Steelers offensive coordinator or North Carolina head coach?
Oh.
And he had over 800 votes, and 66% said Steelers offensive coordinator.
Well, I think there's a lot in that question, is there not? I mean, what's the more prestigious job? Steelers offensive coordinator, unquestionably, if that's how you define better. I normally, whether it's me, someone in my family, or anyone on earth, normally define a better job as one that pays a whole lot more money. Don't you?
Yeah, but I mean, there are other circumstances around it than just money, but that's one of the main factors.
Are there?
No denying.
I mean, being happy with what you do, if you can get that and get a nice paycheck, that's unbelievable. That's the bonus. But excluding that, I'm almost always leaning for the money, bro. Aren't you?
Yeah, and despite the fact of there being a Mike Tomlin coaching tree, I think Artie Smith thinks that he can get back to being a head coach again. Like, if he succeeds with Justin Fields / Russell Wilson, I think Artie believes fully in his mind that maybe his situation in Atlanta, he was dealt a bad hand.
I mean, yeah. But he also contributed to that hand by choosing their quarterbacks and failing to get the most out of them. I think we're seeing that Artie is an upgrade on Canada, but still flawed. And one of your texters said, why are we blaming the coordinator? Let's blame Tomlin?
Yes.
Okay. In some instances, Tomlin needs to override his coordinator. But one of the complaints I've had with Mike Tomlin is that he brings in people that he can control and has his hand in too many piles, so to speak. And Matt Canada was one of them. He brought in Arthur Smith to be able to hand over an offense to a seasoned offensive coordinator. So when I'm analyzing this offense, I'm analyzing, praising, and blaming Arthur Smith. Okay? Now, you could say, for instance, the other day on that 4th-and-1 when the time clock's running down and they look totally discombobulated, that Tomlin should have called timeout, and Tomlin does have final say, but he's letting Arthur Smith run the offense. So I'm going to critique Arthur Smith for the Steelers offense. Thank you.
I'm completely fine with that. I mean, we've done this before where we've said, what are the most scrutinized spots, positions, people in the city in terms of sports? It's Steelers head coach, Steelers quarterback, Steelers offensive coordinator, everyone else.
What did Tomlin say before? Earlier in the show that got my ire and attention. Now I can't remember. What was he commenting on? Because I'm still angry about it, even though I forgot what it was.
The 3rd-and-4 play.
The 3rd-and-4 throw when you have Russell Wilson completing 75% of his passes, when he's the guy that you went Lone Ranger and made this quarterback change when they were 4-2, and now you have a critically important play in a critically important game, and you let the other guy throw the ball. Can we play that again so I can become angrier on Thanksgiving Eve?
We felt good about it, to be quite honest with you. It was a weighty moment. It was 3rd-and-medium. They had 11 guys within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. We had GP matched up on a corner not named Denzel Ward. That feels like more than a 50-50 ball to me, and so we were comfortable with that decision.
Even though Justin hadn't thrown a game in the pass in a game in a month?
Even though. Certainly.
Even though.
That is a big caveat there by the Gravesdigger, isn't it? Will Graves came in. The Undertaker, we'll call him. He came off the ropes there.
I love hearing Will Graves just start to formulate his question. You could just hear it in the way that he's either breathing or talking, that he's just trying. The wheels are really turning in his mind, trying to think of the right words to say.
Yeah. So that one, we could point to Tomlin as well. But it's Artie Smith's decision in the first place. So that's still critiquable. Even though you may blame Tomlin for a given play, You still have, well, what was Arthur Smith thinking on the play to analyze? And my answer on that one would be he wasn't. He wasn't thinking. They got a little too in love with the Justin Fields thing. So, I don't know, Limits. I'm giving Artie Smith probably a C, like I said, a C+ to a B-, but the final exam is ahead.
I give a B-.
A lot of them.
So is Tomlin thinking that Justin Fields is currently affecting the Steelers' rhythm?
Certainly there's a potential of that, but we're more excited about the challenges that it presents the opposing unit. And that, I think that's reflective of our general attitude. We live in our hope as opposed to our fears.
The fears.
We live in our hope as opposed to our fears. Well, that felt like a hope play.
We hope Justin will complete the ball to George Pickens. We're not sure, but we hope he does.
You know what else they say about hope? It ain't a plan. Hope is not a plan. Let's heave up a 50-50 ball from our guy who we replaced because he's not a good passer in a snowstorm when he hasn't thrown a pass in a month and hope that Pickens catches it? Bad plan, I would say. Call me crazy.
I think you'll find this one fascinating. Is it Fields' decision? Is it Tomlin's decision on if Fields goes into the game, or is it Artie Smith's?
It could happen from either party, and has, certainly.
Hmm. That's got me thinking a little bit. So, wouldn't that cause some issues in, like maybe it did on that 4th-and-1 in the first half?
Yeah. Wait,
who's in? Artie calls a play for 4th-and-1, and Tomlin says, no, I want Fields in? What?
That definitely happened once in this game. I'm convinced of it. That play probably had the best chance of it because, I mean, Zach Frazier and Isaac Samola were running off the field with 15 seconds left on the play clock.
Right, it was a mess. And it's Tomlin's responsibility to call timeout there. That just doesn't feel like a good answer to me. It just doesn't. 412-928-9370. We're packed with calls, Limits. Why don't we get to one or two of those and then to the general?
Yes, let's go to Bake in Mars.
Bake McBride. What's up, Bake?
Hey, what's up, guys? I want to start off. I'm going to get a little off topic, but I'm going to circle back. I'm going to weave back. The Pittsburgh Penguins, they need to fire Mike Sullivan. I'm disgusted. There is a price to pay when you win 3 cups in 15 years, but it should not look like this.
All right, we're talking Steelers, however, so get to the point.
Okay. The other point is bad play calling. I know we've discussed it. You guys discussed it. Why does Mr. Conservative all of a sudden in a blizzard want to be unconservative and, you know, go for it on 4th-and-2 inside your own 50? And, you know, the dumbest play call to me was accepting the penalty, taking the pressure off the Browns, giving them 2 downs instead of a 3rd-and-or instead of a 4th-and-2 to basically win the game or lose the game, give them 3rd-and-7 and then they complete it. You could literally be drunk and not be able to really see and still understand that a lot of those things can't be done on when you're calling a football game, and it scares me if they do make the playoffs that this is the type of stuff that they struggle with and have struggled with and need a change.
Well, I don't know that I would call him Mr. Conservative, and I appreciate the call because, I mean, he has shown a propensity to take some big risks. He has. At times he doesn't, and it's annoying. I'm more annoyed when he doesn't. But I don't know that that's fair to call him Mr. Conservative. Who's next, Limits?
Let's go to Josh in Pittsburgh.
What's up?
Hey, guys. So, first of all, I think when it's talking about the power rankings and how everyone's putting the Ravens so far above us, we beat them and they also lost to the Browns. So I'm not going to look at them as some higher tier. I think they're human just like us. But I was listening to you guys yesterday, and do you remember the guy that called saying he wanted both quarterbacks on the field at the same time?
Limits, I wasn't here.
Yeah. There was somebody that called in and basically said that Justin Fields, Russell Wilson should be on the field at the exact same time, and maybe they handed off the fields or something like that.
Bob Pompiani and I both offered that the other day, and my understanding is that Ben thinks that Fields should go in at receiver sometimes. Am I right about that, oh, Limitless Wonder?
Yes, and we'll hear from Ben soon.
Your thoughts on this, sir?
So the way that he kind of said it, he didn't really have a play in mind, but I was thinking about it. I think the way you do it is, if you want to do something like that, you have Russ at QB, you have Fields at running back, you motion him outside, and then you have him come back behind Russ, you pitch it to him, you have Pat on the left side of the line running a shallow cross in case Fields wants to throw it to him, or he throws it back to Wilson, and you have George running a deep post. So either side, if someone has to throw it, which they can both do, you might have someone open. It just makes people think you don't know what you're going to get whenever they have both on the field.
Well, that would certainly confuse the defense because it confused me. But I do like it, and I like the idea of it.
Sounds like a play I'll try at the Turkey Bowl tomorrow. Backwards pass, the next guy will throw
real?
It.
Was that real? Did he mean that?
Yeah, I meant it. I thought it was a good idea.
Okay, let's replay that in the next hour. We have Jay Caulfield, top of the hour, right? Talking Penguins.
Yes.
50-minute mark brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. The time is 10:59, brought to you by Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty. It's time for Starkey's Card of the Week with the General. General Patton, Jeff Patton of the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. General, I hope you're well on this Thanksgiving Eve. Limits, you have a guest for the cards of the week?
Who?
I'm going to go Sid for his 600th goal.
I was thinking that too. Just to be different, I'll go with Najee Harris, just because.
Najee Harris?
I don't know.
For what?
I was trying to be different. Maybe I should go with Greg Newsome for pulling George Pickens out of the end zone.
For constantly getting stopped at the line of scrimmage the other night, Najee? Yeah, maybe George Pickens. What do you got, General?
Gentlemen, good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. Appreciate you having me. We got to commemorate Sid on his 600th goal, so we have a 2005 Stars in the Making upper deck Sid from his rookie season. But we can't go away from the story of the week, maybe the story of the century. I'm throwing in two more packs of Topps Chrome in case that $1 million Skeens card's in here.
Oh, wow. You could get the golden ticket here. Two packs of Topps Chrome with the possibility of a Skeens card in there. Are things still flying off the shelves there, General, with those cards?
If the fan radio were TV, you wouldn't believe it, what you see on your eyes, because every day has gotten busier. It's amazing. Wow. I feel like it was a bonanza a week ago, and it's 10 times that now. Like, we have filled over 500 people's want lists in the last 72 hours. We're getting low. It's getting scarce. They're hard to find all over the country. But every day we have them overnight aired to us to get a supply, and the supply is getting low.
General, I can't help but keep thinking about Pomp's question last week. I mean, it's a fact that if somebody uncovered that card today, everything would end. Nobody would buy any more cards. So how can we trust that this is all on the up and up here?
Well, first of all, the way the world is now, as soon as someone gets it, they run to the internet and post that they got it because they want the accolades for getting it.
Right.
So if it comes out, you're going to see it. I think the hidden question, and this is what I told Pomp, was most people are buying them for Christmas. So they're going home and wrapping them up, and they're going to get opened up during the Steelers-Chiefs game. So there's a high propensity to think that the card could be embedded in a box until December 25th. That's my guess.
Man, it would sure be a Christmas bummer if somebody opened it today, though, right? I mean, then all these Christmas present things are useless.
It's one of the better products of the year anyway. I mean, it's always a great product. This is a new invention. Every single year, people call for Topps Chrome Update. because it has, you could still get a Skeens rookie autograph. Matt Holliday put a $100,000 bounty on Jackson Holliday's rookie debut patch.
True.
So there's plenty of other good cards. It's amazing how we, like all of us, me included, we run over and go, well, if we don't get the $1 million card, it's not worth it. Now, will the top come off? A little bit. You know, like when the $1 million card's gone, you're gone from hitting the Powerball to the big four. You know, so they're still good cards. There won't be people on a want list 500 deep, that's for sure.
General, you're a wonderful man. Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving.
You are welcome. Happy Thanksgiving. You guys take care.